morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for April 29th, 2012. Koyo Kubose here. Glad you joined us. End of April. Indeed. Well, today we have a guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. Christine Kubose, who lives in Southern California, and she is the oldest of the five grandchildren of the late Reverend Guillaume and Minnie Kubose, and member of the Bright Dawn Board, and she's going to talk about an incident that happened with her physical therapy business that she has. She's a physical therapist, and she and her partner have a very thriving physical therapy business, and called Outback, I believe it is, because they studied, they did some special training in Australia. They went for a year or so. So, let's see. Christine Kubose.
As we know, one of the basic premises of Buddhism is that life is suffering, and accepting that is a good start to focus inwards and honestly follow the path towards quote-unquote enlightenment. I start with what Grandpa Guillaume Kubose said often, every day is a good day, because really it is. Yes, we go through the vicissitudes of life, we have our ups and downs and challenges, and it is with our attitude on how we handle it. Recently, we had an issue at work that has shifted our path. We had an employee who worked with us for 4 years and her daughter, who worked with us for over two. They were like family to us. We celebrated birthdays, took them out to dinner, talked about kids and family, and even supported her when her brother passed away and then her sister passed away. We had an inkling that they were not clocking in and out with a time clock, especially when a therapist noticed they left early one Friday and then noticed on their time card that they hand wrote in 4:30 the following Monday. Then, at the beginning of this month, I came back from errands, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I got back just before 3:30 because I passed by my kid's school at 3:15, thinking, oh, they're getting out about now, and they'll just walk to the business, and they can wait. I'll just go to the dry cleaners really quickly. So around 3:30, I get back, and the daughter was just dropped off by her boyfriend after lunch. She even opened the door for me as I brought in the 5-gallon jug of water. Well, while doing payroll the next week, I noticed that her time card was clocked in at 3:12. Now, how could that be when she got back at 3:30-ish? Well, we randomly pulled other dates and looked on the surveillance cameras that are in the parking lot and found that Mom would leave early and the daughter would clock her out at the time she was supposed to be off. They even were so bold to have a decoy card, so that if one clocked the other in, they had a decoy card to use when they came in to, quote-unquote, act like they clocked in. So needless to say, we had to let them go. Well, to make a long story short, we met with each separately. Of course, they denied everything to the bitter end. So then I got to thinking, if they can do that, I bet the mom was stealing money. Sure enough, we have calculated that she has taken over $6,000 over the last 2 years. She had the job of calculating monies that came in over the counter, cash, check, credit card. She would tally each, and the way she got away with it was, for example, if the cash for a certain day was $100, she would tell me that only $75 came in and pocketed $25. So what was entered in the computer was correct, $100, but what she gave me was not. I had trusted her, so I had no reason to look at the over-the-counter sheet to make sure she was actually giving me the $100. She would also write receipts for cash paid for supplies, but not write them in on the over-the-counter sheet and just pocket them in. So I'm telling a longtime patient of mine the story, just told you, and she said, it's karma. I immediately thought to myself, wait a minute, I have integrity, I don't steal, I don't lie. Then I thought about it later and basically realized that we were the conduit for their karma. See, they're going to suffer the consequences for their actions. They turned the wrong way along the path. It was calculated deception. We are met with choices every day. And the first time she made that choice and got away with it, it was the beginning of the end. They will be prosecuted and most likely end up in jail. So we are down from 4 office people to 1. One is off due to personal issues. So we hired a temporary helper. Needless to say, it's pretty stressful, but we're doing our best to keep things smooth and under control for our patients. So, full circle, yes. Every day is a good day, despite the stress. I am thankful that we have patients and the skills to treat them and help them get better. I'm thankful that I have a supportive and caring family and friends. I aim to make the right choices when presented with them, knowing that consequences follow. So, my thing for this Dharma glimpse is that sometimes we are pawns for other people's karma, and other times we create our own. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You know, the stuff of life, life experiences, is full of incidents and things that happen. And this teaching or the reality of karma, I think, is not exactly understood by us or Black Buddhists. It's a large concept. I think some of the misunderstandings are, this isn't according to me now, maybe I'm mistaken, but in the popular usage, you say, oh, something bad happened to me, some bad karma in my past. I must have did something, wrong or bad. And so I'm suffering the consequences. This is like, I don't know what you would call it, but universal punishment. It's like, in Japanese, in fact, I have a polo shirt that was given to me. It was bought at a Japanese-American craft show where vendors come. And so it had a saying on there written in English called, Bachi happens. And I was just wearing that shirt yesterday. And bachi in Japanese means if you do something bad, you'll suffer bad consequences. And it's usually the concept that a parent would tell a child. You know, if the child slips and falls because she was running on the slippery place, then the parent might say, Bachi, if you were not running and you were careful, you wouldn't have fallen. Or you might say something like, you ate too much candy and now you got a stomachache. Bachi, see? And this is used in a sort of a superstitious way. I mean, it's sort of trying to tell the children to be good because if you do bad, bad consequences will happen. As we grow older, of course, we know that sometimes you do bad things and you get away with it. Now, maybe for a while, it might come around, but we know that there might be some criminals that had a long years of getting away with it. Okay. Or the opposite. If you say, hey, if I follow the rules, do good, then everything should be fine. I have good karma. Or the big issue for religious belief systems is, you know, when bad things happen to good people, right? Say, hey, why did this happen to me? I led a good life. Followed, you know, did morally all the good things. You know, and then this big natural disaster happened to me. And I think that's so karma means actions. The word itself means action. So you do something, and it has some consequences. It has effects. But it also means, I guess you would call it factors or aspects. It could be referring to situations, context. You know. I don't remember exactly. There was a concept of different kinds of karma, individual karma. There's karma that we generate, you know, through our actions. And karma doesn't mean predetermined or fate. Like something, you have bad karma, you come from a bad family. It doesn't mean that it's guaranteed that it's going to turn out for you a certain way. It's cause and effect. Some people say, no, I don't believe in karma. To me, that's, you know, that's like saying, I don't believe in reality. If you say, I don't believe in karma. It's cause and effect. Okay. And to some extent, we create our own karma by how we react to what happens to us, which is a key teaching in Buddhism. It's not saying, hey, everything's going to be great. But it says no matter what happens, because we don't know, we can't necessarily control and predict all the causes and conditions. That causes and conditions is huge. It's a massive dynamic interaction. Sometimes we could control it to some extent, but many times we don't know. As we would say, it works in mysterious ways. But the key Buddhist perspective is, well, how do we respond to what happens to us? Because there are different kinds of karma. There's maybe family karma, community karma, societal karma. So some of the causes and conditions, well, it depends upon whether you were born into a family that was in the ghetto or a Rockefeller Kennedy family. You just, that's who you are. This is your family. And you're in the United States. You're in this culture. The context, the situation, not only that, but it's hard to say why, just by looking at two different situations, say, oh, these, let's say, two individuals, looks like they were raised in the same kind of situation, and one turned out bad and one turns out good, so to speak. Okay? So, hey, we don't know what kind of karma they was operating here. In Japanese, a Buddhist term that's just about synonymous with karma is called innen, I-N-N-E-N, which literally means causes and conditions. Sometimes there's an immediate cause, but it occurs within some general conditions. And this is the basis of Buddhist philosophy, understanding oneself and understanding the world we live in. It's very, I would say, well, you can call it scientific if you want, reality, or we might say common sense, because in general, if you act in a bad way, something, you know, more likely something bad's going to happen. If you act in a good way, and the same thing, if you're raised in a good family or a bad family, according to societal ethics and morals, it's likely that that influence is there. That's a good word, influence. But as I said, this doesn't guarantee, or it's not ironclad cause and effect, because the dynamic interaction of all kind of things, we're not omnipotent deep source that knows the leaf falls and you know all the intricacies of what's going on. But the key thing, one of the key things, I think, in addition to the fact of, well, that what realizing that what we do is constantly dynamically affecting our cause and effect system, network, field of influence, if you will. And that there are a lot of things acting upon us that we may not know about. But we do have a sense of responsibility and power here. So it's quite common, say if, you know, if, say in a family, if the parents, the way the parents are as people, the way they act, of course it's going to have a tremendous influence on the children. And if they're, if this is a criminal family, a dysfunctional family, it's highly likely there are no other things being equal, meaning that, you know, it doesn't mean that for sure the child is going to turn out bad, because they might be influenced by a family friend, some other influences may have acted upon the child. But more than likely, that's what we mean when we say, well, bad karma. Okay. Meaning that, well, if you're raised like that, okay. Or say if they have a dysfunctional family, and bad and tremendous tragedies happen in the family, and the parent has, you know, realizes this and says, hey, terrible things are happening to my family. My children are going in the bad, or committing suicide or whatever they're doing, and goes to the, I'm thinking of a true story where family in California, they had about, 3-4 children, and they were young adults, and I think 2 of them jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, very troubled, you know. And the Buddhist priest was taking the mother to the morgue to identify the body, and this was her second adult child that jumped off the bridge, committed suicide, and she got overcome, and she grabbed the minister's arm and with wild eyes said, what can I do? You know, what's happening to my family? And he said, as he told the story, he said, well, you have to create better karma in your family. And one way to do this is you have to come to church service every Sunday for 3 years. And as this minister told this story, he said, I don't know why I said that, but in that moment, that's what came out. And in this story, she said, so she started to come to church, and better things happened for her family. This would be an application of, you know, a Buddhist teaching of karma, where, well, now, there's no, as I said, not superstitious or predetermined or anything like this, fatalism. But it's a field of influence, and you don't do things because, oh, I'm only doing this so that I could have good consequences. That in itself, that thought, is setting oneself up for a fall. What we say, what we think, it's all part of our behavior and the synapses that are laid down in our brains for how we interpret things. This is all part of cause and effect. So we have to really say, you know, we don't have to look for some higher power to say, hey, I can't do anything, and these things happen to me, and so I have to pray for favors, okay, like a beggar. You know, this is what sometimes some religionists feel. Why? Some religions are like a beggar religions. You got to beg because, you know, to the higher power, you can't do anything about it. And some other people say, no, I don't believe in any kind of religion. Life is full of just chaotic, random chance. So you better try to do, you know, be hedonistic, and because you can't help what happens. It doesn't make sense. So it's all, you know, nonsense in a way. So you just do the best you can and everything. See, both of these leave the individual rather powerless, whereas the Buddhist type of a religion or philosophy is, say, no, it's not. You have a lot of power here. And it's through this concept of karma, really understanding karma, right understanding. And it's a challenge when it's real life, when it's real life. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you got to keep going because reality keeps going. So, you have a very beautiful karmic day.